go back to those cold sounds and keep my advent to yourself, because it's nothing I don't like. Is it a crisis or a boring change when it's central?
You are listening to A Place to Be Nation Pod Blast, Mission Indie Possible, Steve Willey's Big Experiment.
Place to Be Nation, how are you all doing? This is Steve Willey coming at you with an experimental podcast, Mission Indie Possible, the Pod Blast, P-O-D, that's a capital P-O-D, capital B-L-A-S-T, patent pending by our warlord, Brad Woodling, our dear friend, actually. What I like to do with this Pod Blast is take a look at two matches that have been on the independent or international scene. I like to just explore what's out there and give a few takes of what I see that interests me, and some of it will be current, some of it will be quote-unquote classic, older match. First match I want to look at today is from Revolution Pro, November 10th of this year. You can find this match on New Japan World. They have recently started to add in matches from other companies that include New Japan talent. So this is from Revolution Pro. They've also added some Ring of Honor matches from Global Wars and Death Before Dishonor. So this is going to be Matt Riddle against Minoru Suzuki of Suzuki Gun in New Japan. Matt Riddle, pretty big time name these days. I would say like one of the biggest names on the independents, former UFC fighter going around around the world. He was rumored to be in the tag league with either Elgin or Jeff Cobb. That didn't work out, but he's been seen in Chikara, AAW, PWG, pretty much everywhere these days. So this is a first-time meeting that I'm aware of. Suzuki's still the never openweight champion here. They have said that it is on the line, which I hope does not telegraph the finish. First thing I did notice that compared to other matches and shows on New Japan, that there's some really shaky camera work going on here. It kind of reminded me of old Ring of Honor back in the 03-04 days. So I hope that gets worked out. I know Revolution Pro has a lot of buzz behind it right now. Suzuki came to the ring with Suzuki Gun member El Desperado, so you know there's going to be some hijinks. Music was cut out on NJPW for copyright reasons. Riddle, just if you notice him, if you've ever seen him live or on television, he always looks like he's having fun, that he's just having a blast being there and doing professional wrestling. And you can see that if you, again, see him live, like before and after shows, too, just constantly smiling. It seems like a really down-to-earth guy. Right off the bat, Suzuki takes him down. It's eventually reversed, and you can tell that Riddle is not intimidated in the least, neither is Suzuki. Suzuki, you can really tell based on his body language that like he does not care about Riddle's background. They exchange some quick strikes and some really sick chops, just kind of laughing at each other, no selling these vicious chops that would probably down another man. There's a flurry of forearms, and then Suzuki suckers Riddle into a rope-assisted armbar. This kind of breaks down into the floor, and it's really seen in a lot of Suzuki Gun matches these days, and I think it's actually a minus for me, the brawling out into the crowd, kind of ECW style, throwing the guy into the chairs. It's almost a trope at this point, and I'd like to see them get a little bit away from that. Suzuki's aided by El Desperado here, of course. At this point, I noted that there wasn't as much intensity as I thought there would be. Suzuki's more working the crowd into a frenzy, which is, you know, if you're doing a live show, a great thing to do because you're trying to get a reaction out of the crowd. But as a at-home viewer with these two guys in the ring, I wanted something fierce. I wanted some strikes. I wanted some suplexes. There's multiple chops and then I believe a kick by Riddle, which I couldn't even describe what to call that. Some exploder suplex, strikes and more suplexes by Riddle, which is really his forte. I'm a big fan of his gut wrench suplexes in succession. And that was after Riddle was in control for a while. Eventually, there's a senton that's reversed into an arm breaker. Another chop fest that was won by Suzuki, and then he goes for the sleeper hold, which he generally then transitions into the gruesome gotch pile driver. So one of my favorite moves. And Riddle actually reverses this into the bro to sleep. There's some elbows and an armbar again. Suzuki rolls into the ropes, and the announcers really get over how neither one is budging from each other. And that is something that carried on through the match. At the beginning, as I noted, they really were not backing down from each other. And that continued throughout the end of the match. Suzuki lays in a couple of stiff shots, and Riddle returns the favor. At this point, I'm just waiting for the upcoming interference by El Desperado. If you've seen any of the New Japan matches, you'll notice that he gets involved all the time. And I'm a big fan of El Desperado in terms of his singles matches in the Junior League from earlier this year. He had some really great matches, especially on the house shows, just playing a jerk heel who will like pull off his opponent's masks to surprise him with a roll-up. But here he's just, again, interference. There's a sleeper, and El Desperado hits him with a chair after the ref is pulled away. And then Suzuki hits the gotch for the win. I gave this match, I'm not a big star raider. I don't have much experience in it, and I also think that every match is subjective based on the time and place that you're at. I also think that it can be heavily swayed by whether you're live in the crowd or not. But I gave this around 3 stars. I hope that, again, our good friend Brad can at some point give me a blue check mark for a certified star rater. I did think that I was disappointed in that it wasn't as hard-hitting and more, I'd say, of a longer athletic contest between the two. Maybe like more of a grapple to strike and submission finishes and such. And I think it would be interesting to see what would happen if El Desperado was not there, or perhaps they were given a longer time period in order to flesh out a match. Before I go on to my final match, I wanted to just do a couple quick plugs. A couple podcasts that I've been enjoying on the Place to Be network. First one is on the Place to Be Nation Pop feed. It is the NBA team podcast. Andrew Reich, Adam Murray have started up with the new NBA season. But one episode I want to really point out is the recent NCAA episode, in which Andrew and his encyclopedic knowledge of obscure college athletes, it's quite impressive. Takes a look at some of the college superstars in the making who will make possible draft picks. And then Adam says, pretty much, no, you're wrong on pretty much all of these. These are nobodies who will never get out of college. It's a great episode. Adam and Andrew have great chemistry, and I highly recommend it. On the Pro Wrestling Only feed, I've been recommending to anyone who will listen the WorldCast podcast to look at World-Class Championship Wrestling, which is a territory in Texas that I grew up with, watching on the old UHF channels outside of Chicago. What I've been doing, and this is what I also highly recommend, watch the episode on the network. They've been going in chronological order, and then hit up the podcast for a review. It's our good buddy Pete Schirmacher hosting, along with special guests Kelly Nelson and Johnny Sorrow, and I can't recommend this enough. If you want to hear more from me, I've been guest starring on the Main Event podcast with Scott Criscola and Nate Milton. If you want to go back into the archives, you can see some Mission Indie Impossible podcasts that I did, and Clotheslines and Headlines as well. And I'll be coming up on the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular. We are going to be doing some spectacular advice. If you need any advice at all, we will hook you up. We have knowledge. We have sass. So just give us an email, drop us one, spectacularadvice@gmail.com. You can remain completely anonymous. You can come up with a clever pseudonym, like Chadley Criscolo, perhaps. Or you can put your name and we won't make fun of you too much. All right, we will get back to the matches. One more match that we want to do from Ring of Honor. It is a classic match. I think it's a hidden gem. And it is Roderick Strong, someone who has just recently main evented the NXT TakeOver in San Antonio. And as well as trying to think of who else. Oh, Paul London is his opponent, former WWE Tag Team Champion with Brian Kendrick. And this is a match that is from Glory by Honor 12 in Chicago, Illinois. I was present for this October 26, 2013. You can get this off Ring of Honor Wrestling at their website. It is very inexpensive, $6.99. You can usually get it on sale as well. And you can also hopefully find it on a streaming service that will be coming in January or February from them, long awaited. Now, before we start the match, let's set the scene a little bit. This is the post-Scum era of Ring of Honor. So Scum has been eliminated. Kevin Steen turned on the group that he helped to form. And we're starting to see some of the participants of Scum come back. So this is one of the first matches that Steve Corino did as an announcer again once he came back with Kevin Kelly, our good friend. And the storyline purpose is that Beta Scott was his lawyer and got him back to be an announcer. The Intrepid Traveler, Paul London, this is that phase of his career. He comes out in an orange spacesuit, really reminding me of a not just a space monkey that's current in Chikara and other independent organizations, but really just a regular monkey who's about to be set into space. It's really reminiscent of a Mystery Science Theater 3000 costume that he has on. Roderick, this is a very odd time in Ring of Honor where they're repping World Series of Poker, and so many of the bigger names are wearing World Series of Poker t-shirts to the ring. Very odd and un-Ring of Honor-like. Corino calls Roddy the most undeserving good guy, noting his reputation as kind of a jerk overall, but here he's a super face. Paul London at this time really not doing many matches. You can even tell in that he has unshaved legs, which is not something you generally see in a professional wrestler, and it's really quite striking, the difference when you're not used to seeing it. There's initially a feeling out process, of course. It's extraordinarily fast, I noted. Actually kind of reminded me of some Dragon Gate matches, which Roddy was in. I don't know if Paul London has been in Dragon Gate before. Roddy punches Paul right out of midair and just chops him around ringside. There's a moonsault press onto the floor from Paul London, and London has already been sent into the barricade before he did the moonsault press, and his chest, a couple minutes into the match, is already beat red, blood vessels broken. His back is bruised up and cut from the sharp barrier. Backbreaker in from the ring. Strong put London on the second rope, kind of similar to the way Randy Orton would do a DDT, but pulled him out and dropped him right into a backbreaker. London slid into the post by Roddy, and he goes to the outside to stretch out his abdomen. Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino really putting over Davey Richards injuring Paul London. It was a very gross spot that I recalled once I was watching this match. I believe Paul London was on the apron. Davey Richards did a double stomp and just hit him right in the head. Incredibly dangerous move. Caused a very serious concussion with Paul London. This is one of his first matches back from that. About 6.5 minutes in, and London just looks abused. There's a crash after a double cross body. Both guys are out in the mat. London is soaking wet. London eventually comes back with a series of clotheslines and kicks. After one of them, he landed right on his feet after a backdrop. Eventually, Strong cuts him off with a drop kick off of Paul London springboard. So a little bit of a hope spot there for London, but Roderick cuts him off. Strong eventually gets knocked out of the ring with Paul London's drop salt. If you recall, that move made famous in the WWE, really. Does a drop kick, lands in a moonsault position. Let's see here. London goes with the Topeka on Hero and accidentally lands back first on the basketball floor. So again, I don't know if London's just rusty at this point, but he is just bruised and battered. He's got a gash on his leg that opened up. It looked like it was cut in a previous match. So there's a Band-Aid on it. Band-Aid came up and he's just dripping blood from his leg as well now. Strong pulls London off the top rope. It looked like he was maybe going for a springboard or a shooting star press. Got him right into a backbreaker. Hits a vicious enziguri. Vicious chops. Top rope superplex. One of my favorite moves. Eventually, London is placed in the stronghold. He rolls out. He kicks out of a backbreaker. And then one of the most impressive moves in the match, Strong tries to hit a pop-up backbreaker, and London somehow in midair reverses it into a double stomp, kind of like the old mushroom stomp from Super Mario Brothers. And the crowd just absolutely lights up at this point. There's a vicious kick followed by a suplex in London, and London goes for his shooting star press now. Strong gets out of it, misses a double stomp, and then Roderick catches him with a wheelbarrow. Half Nelson backbreaker, which is on the apron. It's a ridiculous spot. Double knee, gut buster, and the sick kick combination, and you think it's over at this point. It's Roderick's, one of his big combos that he pulls off. London kicks out. Crowd bit on the finish. Standing ovation now by the crowd. Match is absolutely incredible at this point, and you think it's about to hit over. Roderick hits the Tiger Driver. It reverses, puts it into the stronghold, and so now you think definitely London's going to tap. Strong already had his big burst of energy, and then you see sometimes in New Japan matches, Ring of Honor matches, it's again kind of a pattern where the face will kick out of a big move, and then the heel will just at some point just hit his giant finisher for the win. And Strong is kind of turning into the heel in this match. The crowd's getting behind London after taking such a beating. So London is in the stronghold. About 16 minutes in, he makes a break. And this is when the match gets absolutely sick and comes to its nadir. London just pulls Roddy out, kind of like a Hurricane Rana. He hangs onto the top rope, grabs Roddy's head with his ankles, pulls him out, and effortlessly goes into a tombstone position, and then tombstones Roddy right on the floor. Hits him with a double stomp on the back after rolling in the ring, then gets back up, hits a shooting star press, and ends it at about 16 minutes and 50 seconds. As I said at the onset, this is an absolute hidden gem. It's not a match that was talked about too much after people initially saw it. And some might even say that it was overshadowed by the 90-minute Survivor Series-type tag that occurred after it. I believe this is also on one of the Ring of Honor television shows. However, it's clipped. After the match, London is just soaking wet. He's busted open in his leg. His chest is busted open. His back is scratched and busted open. And the story really is that he's come back, and he's trying to prove that he can hang with all the big guys of Ring of Honor at this time. And as usual, Roddy's just an absolute workhorse. Always getting great matches out of people. I don't know if I've ever actually seen a bad Roderick Strong match. He's taken some heat over the years from not being like best of promo. But ultimately, if I'm going to a wrestling match, I don't really care what the promo is. I want to see a great match. And like I said, I was at this event. I don't like rating matches, as I mentioned before, that I attend, because I think that there's an artificial, you know, extra star, or just a little bit of extra love because of the fact that you were there, and it's hard to take a look at it through clear eyes. I've actually seen this match about four times now. I highly recommend it. Again, you can find it on the DVD for Glory by Honor 12. You hopefully can find it on a streaming, and I'm sure you can find it on some of the back TV episodes. Well, that's going to do it for Mission Indie Possible Podblast. I've been Steve Willey. This, like I said, is an experiment to keep your lips wet. That's what I wanted to say. Your lips wet in between episodes. This will be more short Podblast form, where you just get a couple of matches that I would like to recommend today. Really, the first match you can skip, but you can't miss Strong versus London. We will be doing more of a long-form Mission Indie Possible with guests in the future. Until then, if you want to get a hold of me, probably the best place is via the Place to Be Nation chats pages on Facebook. You can get me on Twitter with our Place to Be Nation Twitter account, which is Place2BENation. Justin Rosero and Jason Greenhouse run that. They will get any notes to me that you send. You can also get me on Instagram, Steve Willey. That's WILLEPTBN. You can follow me, send me direct messages if you want. If you want to recommend any matches you want me to take a look at, either current or classic. And besides that, I will get out of here. There's a strict time limit on these pod blasts, and I want to make Brad happy because he's such a good chap. So I am Steve Willie. Thank you very much for listening.